WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into bye week, and it usually feels nice during bye week, and we go away, and we have some Halloween, and we watch some football and some Red Zone, maybe check in on the Terps, or even on the basketball side this time of the year. But I have a feeling we'll be talking about how the second half of this campaign is going to go after what was a humbling afternoon Sunday down at the Crab Cake. Luke Jones joins us now. He is Baltimore Luke. All of our Wise conversations presented by our friends at Wise Markets. I had my Wise ice cream scooper out last week, getting my candy cake ice cream. I needed some ice cream to wash away the blues from 41 points, Luke. And more than anything, we talked about the offensive line. We'll talk about the defensive line and getting after quarterbacks. Just basic tackling and Marlon Humphrey and the back end and guys making a lot of money and not performing well right now. And tackling was an issue in the Detroit game. It was an issue in the Colts game. Maybe not the Chargers because they didn't get out of bed last week, but the Bengals sort of humbled them and sort of pushed them around and gave a lot of bad tape, you know, a lot of embarrassing footage for the Ravens in their meeting rooms this week and going in next week for the Minnesota game.
No question about it. I mean, coming into this game, and this is even on the heels of what was a dominant defensive performance, I'm looking at it right now, Pro Football Reference, and their missed tackle metric is just one metric, and you'll have different websites. Well, you know, is that a missed tackle or not? I mean, that whole thing. But the Ravens going into week 7, they were third in the NFL with 49 missed tackles. Now, the 49's not it's third, you know, third most missed tackles in the NFL. They had missed tackles last year. And I think what's interesting is we tend to, and when I say we, fans and media, we tend to fixate on individuals. You know, if the offense is struggling, who always gets blamed? Oh, it's the offensive coordinator, right? Early this season with the missed tackles, who were we blaming? Oh, Patrick Queen. And then, you know, he's been disappointing as a second year first round pick. And, you know, Josh Bynes had to come in and he's playing the will now. And, well, the missed tackles have been an issue for multiple players on that defense. There's no question about that. And I actually think Patrick Queen played a pretty decent game on Sunday. And I'm not, you know, pretty small silver lining there, but we've seen the tackling be an issue going all the way back to the second half of the Las Vegas game in week 1. And as you mentioned, it's been off and on. It's been an issue. It was an issue that's seemingly disappeared against the Chargers last week. But in the same way that I talked about the running game and saying, all right, I'm not convinced that everything's fixed here just because they did it 1 week. And, you know, we always want to draw these sweeping conclusions week to week in the NFL. And hey, that's what makes it fun, right? I mean, look at the Tennessee Titans, who have beaten the Chiefs and they've beaten the Bills after they had just lost to the Jets a couple weeks before that. So it's a crazy league. We know that, but the missed tackles, it's been an issue. And how about this, Nestor? The Ravens gave up 5 touchdowns of 20 or more yards on Sunday. I mean, that right there tells you you're not tackling well. When you give up 5 touchdowns of 20 or more yards, there are some missed tackles there. Now, all right, you can throw some bombs and maybe you'll have one of those where wide receiver streaks down the field and gets behind the defense and isn't touched. But more often than not, that's going to be because of missed tackles. And boy, we saw it, not just Jamar Chase.
Well, the tape's not going to lie on Sunday, right? Literally.
No question.
Like, and wink, John, this game is a really bad taste in their mouth. You could see it in John's face in the post game on Sunday. Sure. This is not going to be a normal kind of buy over the next 2 weeks because they believe they can win the Super Bowl. Now, whether they can or not with this offensive line, with the issues they have, with the linebacking core, with the tackle, we can go through with the running backs. We can go through all of their issues, real and imagined, but they think they're a Super Bowl contender. And Sunday was, it was the worst performance of the Lamar era, right? The worst, the worst team they've put on the field in 4 years, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I mean, what you just mentioned, and this isn't to dash their Super Bowl hopes. All these teams have issues. The Buffalo Bills have issues. You know, Tennessee Titans have issues. The Kansas City Chiefs have a boatload of issues right now. I mean, who would have thought that? So all these teams have issues. The key is who among these teams is going to figure out some of these issues, or let's say minimize some of the issues, or alleviate some of the pain that stems from some of these issues. I mean, it's rare that's why the Ravens 2 years ago were just so unique in that they were 14-2. They were boat racing teams every week. You know, they had a record-setting offense. They had a defense that was playing at an exceptionally high level at the end of the season. You know, that doesn't happen very often. And that's why I said that playoff loss to the Titans hurts so much, because you can't just bottle that up and expect your team to be like that every year. It's tough, but they play the games. And hey, the 2007 Patriots, the 1998 Minnesota Vikings, you know, the best team doesn't always win the Super Bowl. But what we're seeing with this Ravens team, and I'll continue to say, I think the sum of their parts is still a good football team. But they've got some concerns. And when you're talking about tackling and you're seeing this over and over and over, and you know, more specifically, and it kind of makes sense, the defensive line aren't going to miss tackles in the same way that you think about linebackers and defensive backs, but they've got to figure it out. I mean, you can't have CJ Uzomah, another tight end that burned the Ravens. I mean, we've seen that be an issue, but he scores from 55 and from 32 yards. I mean, really, a tight end?
Well, it was tight end's day. I mean, come on. We all know that, right?
It was. And credit to him. He had the big night. What was it against Jacksonville? The Thursday night game, he had a big night, very similar to this. But, you know, I mean, he's a guy that's kind of forgotten because they've got these stud wide receivers. They've got Joe Mixon at running back. CJ Uzomah, though, I mean, got to make tackles. I mean, Marlon Humphrey got turned in the blender with the one. And, you know, that's just not good enough. And Marlon be the first to tell you that. I mean, Marlon Humphrey talked about that after the game, and it's something they're very aware of, to the point where I asked John Harbaugh. It was probably, I want to say it was after the Detroit game, so going into Denver week most likely. And I asked him flat out, how do you improve upon your tackling when just the reality of you're preparing for the week, you're trying to keep your guys physically right, trying to get guys ready to play on Sunday. It's not as though you're going out there and you're going to do Oklahoma drills, right? I mean, that's just not how it works in this day and age. I'm not saying it should work that way either. You know, it's really difficult to fully simulate tackling, right? I mean, you can tackle the donut pads and you can work on form and things like that. But
well, this is where John Harbaugh would scream in the offseason that we're not training these young men to be football players, right?
Well, I mean, maybe not so much in the offseason, but in training camp and, you know, not having two-a-days anymore. You know, there's probably something to that. But at the same time, Nestor, every team has to abide by those rules, right? And you're not seeing every team in the league have the same tackling issues. So how do you fix that? I mean, the players themselves, and John even said this, a couple players have mentioned it. You know, they had a couple Wednesday padded practices. You know, they're only allotted a certain number of those over the course of the regular season. The players wanted that. You know, they worked on it. And you know, it looked good against the Chargers. You know, it looked pretty good against the Broncos after, you know, that first quarter where Marlon Humphrey got dragged for about 20 yards on the long run. But it's the same issues you're seeing. And I don't know how much of it is technique. I don't know how much of it is toughness. And I don't mean toughness in saying that these guys are mentally weak. I mean, when you're talking about the heat of the battle, when things are going rough, when they're making some plays on you, how much of that is, you know, you're getting a little tired? How much of that is guys doing too much and you're not taking good angles? And when you take poor angles, you can sometimes take out someone else. And we've seen that on occasion. What was it? Humphrey at one point, you know, even got basically tripped up by his own man downfield trying to make, you know, both of them trying to make tackles. So, but one thing that really has stood out, and we've talked about it a little bit, Nestor, and let's be clear, I don't think this individual, first of all, Marcus Peters, not a great tackler. I mean, that's not his forte. And we saw that last year. We saw that at the end of 2019. But he is one of those alpha males who has that attitude, guy that's not afraid to rattle some cages, so to speak. And you do wonder, in the heat of the battle, you know, as you're into the second half and you know the Bengals are making chunk plays and breaking tackles, you do wonder if they miss that personality a little bit. And that's not to say that, you know, I mean, Deshaun Elliott's got some of that. And there's some other guys on that defense that have that. But you have other guys that are more of the quiet types. You do wonder, in the midst of the game, if they are missing some of that leadership there. And again, Marcus Peters himself is not a great tackler, so I don't want to make it all about that. I mean, ultimately, these guys are professionals, and they've all made tackles. So you've got to get better in that way, but that is where you are missing, you know, a Pro Bowl player in the back end of that defense. And we know, I mean, Wink Martindale's talked about how Peters is a football savant and diagnosing, and, you know, a guy that he even called the, you know, in the last preseason game, he actually called the defense in the second half. You know, it shows what kind of football intellect he has. You know, are you missing that when times are not so much at the beginning of the game? And this defense was really good through the first quarter and a half. But when it's starting to unravel a little bit, do you miss a guy like that to kind of, you know, whether it's putting an arm around someone or whether it's getting in someone's grill and saying, hey, it's time to man up. We've got to make plays out here. This is not Ravens football. In the same way that Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs did that for so many years, you're wondering if that's part of it. And it's not an Anthony Averett thing. You know, I mean, Averett's been picked on in certain games. He's played well, really well at other times. So it's not even so much that. It's the intangibles that a veteran player of that cachet, a veteran player of those accomplishments, you miss that. And that's not all of it. Let's be very clear about that. Not saying that everything would be fine if Marcus Peters was healthy and playing. But when you're looking at these same things happening over and over and you're trying to look for, all right, why is this happening? And we've talked about it at the linebacker position, not having LJ Fort. Now, you know, Josh Bynes is playing now. We'll see how that goes moving forward as far as some veteran stability. You know, they haven't had Derek Wolfe up front. We know how big he was for them last year. So, you know, you're missing some of those veteran players and got a couple of those guys considered to be leaders. You do wonder what the effect is when things are starting to not go so well, and then you're missing a couple of those guys. Who's stepping up to fill that void from a leadership standpoint? You know, I think that's part of it. Now, 25%, 50%, you know, I'd just be talking out of my you-know-what trying to figure that out. But as I'm trying to look at trying to figure out the explanation for this, I mean, it's just they've got to tackle better and they've got to figure it out. And it's something that, you know, Tyus Bowser was quoted. I mean, we didn't get to talk to him, but the Ravens PR provided some quotes from a couple other players. He really talked about they probably would have been okay if they tackled better and they communicated better. Now, you know, the cynic would say, well, you know, those are pretty big things, right? I mean, you can't just be dismissive and say, oh, if you tackle better, well, sure. Yeah, of course. But it really is a case of, make the plays in front of you. And Ja'Marr Chase, I'll say this, if you can tackle, he's certainly not over 200 yards and he's not scoring an 82-yard touchdown. And you wonder what happens the rest of the drive if you just make the tackle. But, you know, those mistakes are just kind of piling up on top of one another. And, you know, you end up having where you give up 41 points and you're embarrassed and you're feeling really bad about your defense. So, I mean, it really, I think it's one of those things at this point, that specific element, you know, there's got to be some soul searching on that defense at this point to continue to have these issues where they play really well for a quarter or two. And then it's the opposite. You know, it hasn't even been that they've had these periods of mediocrity. They've either been really good or it's been really bad. I mean, we saw that starting with the Raiders game. I mean, the defense was terrific for most of the first three quarters, and then Derek Carr goes nuts after that, and they struggle to make tackles, and they're giving up big plays. And, you know, Kansas City, the defense was poor for the first, you know, almost the first three full quarters, and then, you know, they were great over the final, 17 minutes of that game. So, you know, you're just seeing a lot of variance, right? I mean, you're seeing at times they play great, and then they're really bad. So I don't know if the expectation is you figure out a way to be great all the time, but can you, like I said, on Sunday, make some of the tackles, just make the plays that are there. Giving up a first down, you can live to fight another day, but you can't turn it into a touchdown. And that's what happened too many times on Sunday. And before you know it, the game completely gets away from you. So again, this isn't just Wink Martindale or just Marlon Humphrey or just Patrick Queen in previous weeks. It really is a collective effort that they've got to get better. And I think there's a little bit of in-game toughness there that you need to be able to push through when you're getting tired and you're getting frustrated. There are certainly technique issues, certainly some bad angles. We've seen that over and over, but they've got to figure that out because, I mean, teams are going to make plays. You're not going to force a team to go three and out. You know, you're going to give up plays, but the key is not turning the 16-yard gain into a 42-yard gain or turning a slant into an 82-yard touchdown. I mean, you just can't have those plays. I mean, I'm stating the obvious, but it really – this is what they're going to be talking about. And that's why I said that element of the game defensively, got to have some soul searching. You know,
this is where like the Calais Campbell and the leadership part of this, that's going to be how that gets fixed. You know, that Patrick Queen and Marlon Humphrey think they're leaders. I think Calais Campbell, you know, when I look to leadership in that room, that's probably where I'm going in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think Calais Campbell, I think Josh Bynes, although it's tough because he wasn't here last year. And I mean, you know, this defense, you know, undergone some change, you know, from even 2 years ago, even with just the injury.
It was interesting how he identified some things the Bengals were doing early in the game that were effective, that he had played for the Bengals. He recognized things.
Sure. No question about it. So, and I mean, Chuck Clark is a leader. It's in a different way. Ultimately, it isn't just leadership. It isn't just needing to be tougher in the middle of the game when things are starting to go sideways. It isn't just, you know, wrapping up. It isn't just taking – it's all those things. And again, it's just been way too inconsistent, and it's something that they've got to get better with. I mean, it's just – it is too hard to completely shut down passing games in today's NFL. It's just the truth. I mean, you're not going to do what – the 2000 or the 1999 Ravens did. You're not going to do what the Buccaneers did in 2002. I mean, you're just not going to see that. A great defense today is not the same statistically as great defense 20 years ago. You're going to give up plays, but the key is it's okay to bend sometimes, right? You know, it's okay to bend. You don't want to break. And they're just breaking way too frequently at this point. And it's frustrating because, again, you saw how they played early in that game. I mean, you know, the Bengals, the few passes they were completing over those first couple drives, I mean, they were tightly contested, pressured pocket. You know, I mean, everything the Bengals were doing early in that game, the Ravens made it look extremely difficult to do. And then that just went away, starting with the Uzama touchdown midway through the second quarter. And then from that point on, the Bengals even tried to bungle it up for them when they're down, you know, they're up 10 and Burrow just throws it up in the end zone and Marlon Humphrey picks it off. I mean, that was a very Cincinnati Bungles kind of play right there when, you know, you had a field goal in your pocket, but the Ravens couldn't capitalize then, of course, offensively, but you know, it just, there are a lot of big plays that they're giving up that, I mean, it's just unacceptable. You can't give up 5 touchdowns of 20 or more yards. I mean, that's so far below the line for a Ravens defense. That's below the line for any defense that fancies itself as being good in the NFL. I mean, again, give up yardage, give up first downs, give up some drives, but you give up big plays like that, I mean, you don't even give yourself a chance. And more importantly, you're not even giving the opposition a chance to make a mistake. You know, part of the whole issue of the whole bending but not breaking philosophy is, all right, yeah, we're going to give up some yards and we're going to give up some first downs, but you're going to have to drive 12 or 13 plays. It's statistical probability, right? If you have to move down the field using more and more plays, there's a greater chance that you're going to make a mistake or you're going to commit a holding penalty or someone's going to jump or, you know, things of that nature.
Or the ball's going to pop up in the air into your hands.
Yeah, exactly. But when you're giving up, I mean, some of these drives where, you know, it's 3 plays, 4 plays, you know, I mean, what is that? I mean, it's not anything close to what you've come to expect from a great Ravens defense or any Ravens defense going back to what, 1996, I suppose. So, there's a lot of work to do. And for me, it was telling. And I touched on this a little bit when we talked about it ahead of the Chargers game. But I go back to that Indy game where, you know, Ravens have this amazing comeback. Lamar Jackson's the toast of the town, the toast of the NFL, 400 passing yards. And I can remember, I mean, Wink Martindale stepping to the podium, what was it, 3 days later. You know, he said, we're happy for the win, but we've got a lot of work to do. And you know, this is the flip side of you didn't get the win that kind of covers up some of the weaknesses, some of the mistakes that are continuously being made. So, it's going to be a long, they'll probably only work 2 or 3 days, and they're required to get their 4 straight days off, and they need that. These guys need to get away. They need to recover. I mean, had so many injuries. We know that, and that's part of this. That's another part of this.
And they're still pretty good. They're 5-2.
Oh, sure. Again, when I'm saying this isn't doom and gloom. This is needing to be realistic about where you are. They've won football games playing some very imperfect football in the process. So, it's a matter of trying to get better, but what happened on Sunday? I mean, you tackle like that. Yeah. You can beat some bad teams, and Lamar can do his thing, and the offense can score a bunch of points, and you can win that way. They did that against Indy, but trying to win that way every week, you're going to get your feelings hurt, and you're going to be on the short end of some of those really close outcomes. It wasn't even close on Sunday, but you kind of saw how that worked if you're going to go out there and miss tackles and give up big play after big play.
Luke Jones will be around all week. He is Baltimore Luke. He'll be watching the World Series with the Atlanta Braves and the Houston. How do you get two National League teams in the? Oh, that's right. They moved them again. It just really is weird. Atlanta versus Houston. But here we go. World Series. We'll be monitoring football all week as well as we get up on Halloween. And our thanks to our friends at the Maryland Lottery presenting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I have the whole schedule coming out here. We're going to be at Silver Spring Mining Company in White Marsh this week. It is all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I'm looking forward to the crab cake from my friend Gary Risling. It's hockey season even, so I'm going to get old hockey player on before the week's over. We're going to be with the mayor later on in the month on November 17th at Coco's. We're going to be at Nick's Grandstand Grill. There's a rumor we're going to be at Watershed. We're going to be moving around town eating crab cakes. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST. AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We'll continue with our football conversations with more Baltimore Positive after this.